I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Afghan officials today said they foiled a plan to assassinate President Hamid Karzai. The plotters had reportedly gotten as far as recruiting one of Karzai's bodyguards. It was a vivid reminder that security in Kabul is as uncertain as ever. Security is also a factor that drives up the price of housing in the Afghan capital. Another factor is the presence of foreign forces and aid organizations. And there are signs that as they leave, the city's economy will take a huge hit. The World's Laura Lynch has more from Kabul.
Behind the security gates lie the secrets to living safely and living well in Afghanistan. I've come for a tour of a house, a mansion, really, that's sitting empty.
And it's ready for rent, and everything is clean and clear, and recently depented.
Mohammed Daoud Rahimi is the real estate agent, and he's eagerly showing off the features of this five-story, seven-bedroom home. First, he takes me into the main floor salon.
It has the central heater and also the cooling system, ACs.
And chandeliers?
Yeah.
It's very fancy looking.
Yeah.
There's a jacuzzi downstairs, too, and lots of closets. The influx of foreign cash that accompanied foreign aid agencies, diplomats, and private security firms led to a big building boom in Afghanistan, especially in the cities. In 2009 alone, house prices jumped 75%. But it seems the good times may be coming to an end. Rahimi has 15 vacant houses on the market.
For example, this house before the rent was about $14,000 per month. And this season, it's available for $9,000.
It's $9,000.
It decreased $5,000 per month the rent of this house.
Perhaps hoping that a little upbeat music will lift the mood, participants at a conference focused on rebuilding Kabul are serenaded by a local group during a pause in the proceedings. The conference was held in the splendor of the spectacular Babur Gardens, southwest of the old city. It seems a world away from the bleak reality of life for most Afghans, but it was where the mayor of Kabul was seeking fresh ideas and money to salvage his city. Mohammed Yunus Nawandish invited me to have lunch with him on the terrace of the garden as waiters rushed to pile platters of mutton, beef, chicken and rice on the table. Nawandish swept his hand up toward the mountainside, toward hundreds of ramshackle homes.
All these houses, you can see this illegally. 70% of the houses are unplanned and most of them are illegally. Because that this is a big challenge for Kabul municipality.
It's an enormous challenge caused partly by rising house prices and the rising population. Kabul has grown from 1.5 million to 5 million residents over the last several years without any formal planning, as frightened Afghans piled into the city from rural areas. As rents climbed, people simply moved further out and built wherever they could. Nawandish is keenly aware of the problems facing the community, and also of the city's dependence on foreign money to keep it going.
Now we have assistance from the World Bank, USAID, Turkish government, Japanese government. We are looking for the assistance from the other countries also.
It adds up to billions of dollars. The United States alone spends about $320 million a month in non-military aid across the country. Plucking grapes from a plate in front of him, Nawandish laments the end of such largesse, even as he promises he'll find another way.
I'm not happy to lose this big assistance, but it's the politics. If he wants to leave, we don't have another option, but we are working on the reform of the income of Kabul municipality.
Income may well mean higher taxes on residents and businesses, in one of the few places in Afghanistan where it's safe enough to even try to collect them. And that makes life even harder for local businesses. Haji Hamid is quick to serve the lone customer buying some gum in his store. For nearly 50 years, Hamid has run the Chelsea supermarket in downtown Kabul. It was established 20 years before that by his father. Meant to cater to the tastes of foreigners living in the city, the store has also attracted locals with three floors of food, clothes, and hardware. But Hamid has watched business slide.
The main problem here is security. The security situation is very bad. We don't have customers for months if there's a bombing in Kabul.
Hamid has done well over the years, opening other stores, buying property. So that made him a target. 2 years ago, he was kidnapped. The men who grabbed him one night as he made his way home from work demanded the equivalent of $700,000.
I sold two houses, and I borrowed $200,000 from the bank. I was held for 19 days and 19 nights, and they only released me after they received the ransom.
Now he's hired bodyguards to protect him, and he closes the store early. He says it all makes it harder to pay back his growing debts. Hamid's difficulties highlight the critical link between security and the economy, and the need for both to ensure Afghanistan's future.
So this is the roof balcony.
And it has a good view that you can...
Mohammed Daoud Rahimi looks out from the roof over a city and a country with a very uncertain future. The only other viable parts of Afghanistan's economy are illicit, drugs and smuggling. Earlier this year, the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee warned that the country could face a severe economic depression when the majority of foreign troops leave in 2014. And that worries many Afghans who have never been able to build a sustainable economy and a peaceful existence. For The World, I'm Laura Lynch in Kabul.